Hi, welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, the number one energy and health show on the entire web network, and welcome to Tan Talk. Welcome all my Florida people at Tan Talk Radio and the Voice of Tampa Bay, which you have made us. Tonight we're going to have David Gibson, who is president of the Sound Healing Center. We're going to talk about the convention that's up on the front page of the BBS radio website in a minute. And those of you that are on the live cam, which you can click on right now on the front page of BBS radio, you will see a wonderful Laguna Beach out over the ocean sunset coming up. In the future, we're going to have a few people coming to us, and I'm going to center this show more towards the Andromedan holographic effect. Even though a lot of you know that I do a lot of stuff in the intelligence community, we're putting up a lot of hot information up there all the time on the what's going on in Iran, Iraq. And by the way, there's a big surprise coming up in a few days in Iran, so be ready for some action. And some of it's posted up there, some of it I can't post it because it's not released yet. On the flip side of all of this One World, New World Order stuff, we're going to start bringing in some scientists, and we're going to start talking about the alien invasion, which has been here, why it's becoming apparent that time is speeding up. We're going to also be talking about the appearance of more and more sightings and spaceships and local spaceship sightings, and how the extraterrestrials are going to interface with the complete activities of the Gulf War and other things that are going on out there in our society, including some real problems we're having with the current administration and our views, the views of the world as how they are looking at the United States of America as not doing too well in the New World Order as far as order goes. We're more creating chaos, but we're also going to be talking more about terrorism later on in future shows. So we're going to start shifting the show in another direction, and the beginning of that shift is tonight with David Gibson. David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, introduce yourself. I mean, I didn't get a chance to really put up the stuff I want. First of all, I know your website is soundhealingcenter.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, and tell us about this event coming up and what you know, first of all, give us some background. How did you get in this business anyway of music and sound and all the things you do? What's your background? My audience loves to know that.
Yeah, you know, I actually started out as a recording engineer. One of my first sessions was with James Brown's band. And so I did that for many years and then opened up my own recording studio, and I opened up my own recording school. And so I started teaching recording about 20 years ago. And just got more interested in the spiritual side of sound and how sound affects you mentally, emotionally, physiologically, and spiritually. And,
were you always up in the San Francisco Bay Area, or were you somewhere else before that?
You know, originally I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, Georgia.
Yeah, so that's where I met with James Brown's band. Then I made
way
back.
I pictured James Brown wearing one of my pyramids when he came up to KSBN in Aspen when I was doing a show up there at Pepsi Auditorium a number of years ago.
Yeah, he gave me a hug and said, "Bless you, child."
So he's a cool guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a trip. Yeah.
In fact, he's so well loved. I don't know if he's even in the ground yet. I think he's still running around somewhere.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he's probably running around. Yeah. Yeah. So then I got a job in Santa Cruz, and I taught recording there and ran the only major studio in Santa Cruz and worked with a lot of the Doobie Brothers.
Wow, the Doobie Brothers. Oh, yeah, I love there. I love Santa Cruz. I live in Los Gatos. I used to work out of Los Gatos up there for a while, and I was vice president of a company over in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
That's so pretty up there. Where do you live now, anyway?
Well, I live in Sausalito right now, and then my school is in San Francisco.
Oh, God, I love Sausalito. I just love it down there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I knew when Alan Watts lived over there, I used to go on his houseboat. And then when he passed on, I used to go on and hang out with Jano. This is probably before your time. I don't think you're as old as I am. You might be.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I just turned 50.
Oh, well, you're approaching me. You're getting there. So you remember, were you around in Sausalito in the days of the hippie and Alan Watts and all that?
Oh, no.
You're
no, I wasn't.
Young. I'm about 10 years older than you, but yeah, that was quite a deal. All those houseboats. Are they still up there, by the way?
I'm sorry.
Are the houseboats still up there in South Korea?
Oh yes.
And I used to go to a restaurant called Zach's. Is that still around, or is that probably long gone? Right.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Okay. That's well, you know how it goes. But yeah, so anyway, when did you start the Sound Healing Center? Anyway.
It was actually 15 years ago that I started the school in recording, and you know, we got it approved by the state of California, and we got we have an associate degree in recording and 7 certificate programs. And then about 4 years ago, we actually added on the sound healing side, and it's called Globe Institute is the name of the school. We've got a certificate program in sound healing, and then we've got a full associate degree program. We've got about 15 instructors, all of them just amazing people that have been researching sound healing for ages, you know. And we've got, you know, the full range. We teach everything that goes on in the field of sound healing, from basic chanting, bija mantras, and toning, to this basic structure of sound, all the way through music theory, into the use of crystal bowls and tuning forks, into the music production, if you wanted to get into that side. And we go into voice analysis. We go into then the full relationship between the structure of sound, sacred geometry, consciousness, and spirituality.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're having a lot of fun. Now, when did you start getting into the sound versus healing part of that in your career?
The sound healing part?
Sound,
you know,
did you always have that kind of a knowledge that there was a healing? Well, obviously you did. You knew it was vibration, but at some point you probably had to point in your other direction from mixed to being a recording engineer into getting into the healing side of it. When was that anyway?
Yeah, you know, it was probably in the mid-80s. I mean, when I was doing, you know where it actually happened is when I did a session with holographic sound. Actually holophonic sound, and which is you know, sound that will float around your head with just two speakers. It will go behind you, actually. We did a full session for a movie, and I got turned on to thinking that, wow, I could actually have visuals or bubbles to represent each sound in the mix. And so I ended up developing this whole system where you can actually see the sounds floating between the speakers, each sound represented by a sphere. And I developed it into a system so you could, basically so I could explain what a good mix is all about. And I actually ended up writing a book called The Art of Mixing that uses these visuals to show all the different styles of mixes in the world visually. But then I realized that I could take those visuals, maybe, and put them inside the body. And that's how I really got into the sound healing side, is I started calling different people, and I came across Bob Dratch, you know, the mad scientist who was actually putting sounds inside the body, where he had electrodes connected to the brain, and he was running sounds through an equalizer and was able to, like, take the output of the equalizer into the arms and create a feedback loop where he could move sounds up and down through the body. And I thought, oh, this would be perfect to be able to have visuals and sounds inside the body. So that's what got me into it in the beginning. So then I started hooking up with all the people in the sound healing field, which seems to be mostly centered around the San Francisco Bay Area, and then got the school going from there.
Yeah, did you get much inflow with New York? Because there's some pretty good friends of mine back in New York that do some pretty amazing things, too, that I work with a New Life Expo back there, you know, that over the years with Mark, what's his name, we've got to put that on. We played some music back there, and there's some great drummers and stuff that I work with. I don't know all their names. Some of them are pretty well-known out in the field. Are any of those guys coming out? I know you got a huge clientele of presenters. I mean, it's awesome. The guy, you got that famous, very famous guy coming over from Japan.
Dr. Emoto.
Emoto, yeah, I know he's coming.
The full who's who list. I mean, we've got, you know, the superstar of the whole field, Tom Kenyon. is going to be there. Tom is just really powerful. Of course, the cool thing about Tom is he brings the Hathors, you know, from Venus. There's a really funny story for those that don't know Tom.
Explain that to him, people that
don't know. It's really in his book, The Hathor Material. He actually was in meditation, and the Hathors came to him. The Hathors, you know, have been working with people on Earth since the Egyptian times. In fact, their pictures are all over the Egyptian temples. One temple is devoted completely to them. And so they came to Tom in this meditation and said, "Hey, Tom, we want to write a book through you." And Tom said, "What are you talking about? No way am I going to write a book with aliens. Give me a break." You know.
Yeah.
So they kept coming to him over and over and over saying, "No, we want to write a book." And he said, no, I'm not going to write a book with aliens. I don't have time to do it. And, you know, I would be thought of as crazy. So
right.
About a year later, Tom's at this conference, and this woman who is a publisher comes up to Tom and says, "You'll never believe this, but these aliens came to me and said that I need to help you write this book and publish it." And Tom said, "Oh, God, okay."
Yeah. Now, what was his background anyway before this event happened?
Yeah, he's actually a very serious psychologist. You know, he does psychotherapy. And, oh, my God,
he was thinking he's going to have to do something on himself.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
That's funny. He's very powerful. Very powerful work.
Where is he then out there by you?
I'm sorry?
Seattle.
Oh, he's in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's also doing not only a presenter at the conference, he's doing a one-day workshop May 15th, the day after the conference.
I used to do those. I wish I had more time to do that. I'd like to do that too, but I guess I'll have enough time to do what I need to do up there, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know one of the things that you haven't gotten my Rays of Truth book yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
I'll get you one up there in the next week. I'll send you one up. But in there, you know, just to break the ice a little bit more, seeing as we're talking to people all over the world tonight, which is a lot of fun, back when I was working with Semyasi, they gave me the recordings taken at that time with 18 tape recorders of Pleiadian ships.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to take that sound and bring it here to the United States. I was living over in Germany part-time and working in Switzerland. And I brought that back here. I had the Roland D50 with the linear arithmetic synthesis that it had at the time, which was, to me, I've got, you know, a bunch of those. I use a lot of them. I'm going to bring one up there with me.
Uh-huh.
I forget the name of that computer. It was like an Atari computer or something, just some basic computer, and I still have it.
Uh-huh.
And they came out with what was called a D50 command program.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to take that D50 command program and synthesize the Pleiadian sounds into that arithmetic linear synthesizer program.
Mm-hmm.
And I created these sounds that we're going to play up there with you. It's your conference.
Uh-huh.
And when I had a band, I was putting an album called From Andromeda with Love together. And this is how I really got to jump on music. It was called and their nickname was the Black Sheep Squadron. And I had Michael Hamilton on guitar. He was playing with the Kenny Loggins band. And I had George Winston involved, who we're trying to get to come to the thing. I played the synthesizer. He played the slack key guitar on the song in there. I had a guy from Oingo Boingo, John Hernandez, on the drums. We had a real Holly Penfield with our singer. We had a real mishmash of crazies in there. I mean, they were all nuts, including George Winston. But they
That's
all
great.
Fit, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so one day we were down there, and then I had a guy who sounded like Roy Orbison. His name was Shades, who was completely homeless. And I met him playing on the guitar on the beach down here in Laguna Beach, and I introduced him to Patrick Mraz because I was working with the Moody Blues, and they used to fight like cats and dogs, but they really produced some amazing arrangements. So he could, and Patrick, of course, was involved. So this is the group I had. So I had to call them the Black Sheep Squadron, you know. Well, one day we were down there in the studio, and I have a song that I did, but I'll never be able to do it again because I did it on an earlier album with an 8-track recorder, And I somehow or other, it sounded like Jim Morrison's full-on band, you know, playing Light My Fire in the background with the harmonics I was getting with the D50. Hmm. So I hooked six of them up, and I staggered all the different sounds and started playing this huge, powerful sound that I learned to do. And we have a candle down there, and this big 14-day candle, it was empty at the time, it just burned out, levitated in front of the band, made a big bang, split right in half, and then just vaporized. The bottom of it hit the floor, the bottom half of the candle intact, half top of it was gone. And that made believers of Black Sheep Squadron. So that really got my attention in sound. And then in my book, I talk about, I know in Tibet, I've got a chapter on this about how they use Rangoons and Tibetans, and they lift rocks up from the ground. They bounce them up on the side of mountains and stick them in caves and stuff.
Well, you know, one of our instructors has done some research where he found that the frequency of bees actually is one of the frequencies that will levitate objects because, you know, bees basically shouldn't be able to fly. I mean, the way they're built, they're not aerodynamic at all. You know,
they're 50 times too heavy.
Exactly. So they create with the sound, they create the sound bubble around them, and that's what they fly within.
Yeah.
So Randy actually, my instructor Randy actually just gave me a tuning fork for my birthday a couple of days ago.
That was Randy, the guy that I almost had on the show tonight? I want him on here too. I want all you guys on here, you know.
Yeah, he said he could probably come on next week. He gave me the tuning fork of 441 hertz. And he says that's the frequency.
Slightly off A.
That's one of the frequencies for levitating.
Wow. He's just a little off A then.
Just a little higher than concert A.
Yeah, now what we found, you know, in my work is that and this is where, you know, when I was studying with the Semyasi, she told me that, are you familiar with my extraterrestrial stuff that I've done at all?
No.
Never you heard of it at all or not?
I've heard of it.
Okay, well, I spent 20 years with a Pleiadian lady from the Pleiades, and she had the same ships that Billy Meyer took pictures of. I also have my photos, too, of the same ships that I took. And during that time, she began to teach me about, you know, timbre in a sound. Timbre not being, you know, timbre is like the difference between a piano and a violin. You play
the
same
harmonic structure. Right.
Exactly. So she explained to me that back in, because I'm a levitation freak, you know. Matter of fact, we levitated a group in that very hotel we're going to be in back in the Harmonic Convergence day in 1987 or whenever it was. I had 50 people floating, which I'll explain in the conference. But anyway, she told me that the Rishis came to the from the Pleiades. These were the Tibetan teachers. They went to Tibet 26,000 years ago, and they brought the language of Sanskrit with them, which is based on sounds of nature, and that they brought the sitar at that time to Tibet, and that the Tibetans had the architecture of the sitar is such that it leans itself towards levitation frequencies, those timbres. But also, she explained to me you had to have somebody, you know, play it right, and that's where the ragas came from. And I know I've spent some time with Ravi Shankar, and I remember he would say that, you know, you start out slow and easy and mellow out the molecules, and then eventually it's going like a banshee, you know, those sitars, you know, and you got it, and it's just amazing how that went.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a key
that's
here.
That's how I really got into it, you know.
You know, my main thing, I originally was a physics major at UC Berkeley, so my whole thing is physics of sound. And, you know, there's an interesting thing about the timbre of a sound. Timbre is actually made up of harmonics. That's what makes up a sound. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when you sing or any instrument plays a note, it's not just that one note. There's a whole series of notes that are harmonics that are mathematically related to the root frequency that we perceive as that note. So if I sing A, I go and sing an A, then there are about nine harmonics above that, and each one of them is a mathematical multiple of the root frequency. So if that A is 80 hertz and it's going to be The second harmonic will be 160, then 240, 320, and 400, 480, and so forth. And what's interesting is that mathematical structure is the same in the distance between the planets. The planets get
But
also the weight of each vertebrae in your back is based on the exact same mathematical structure. The top vertebrae is, if it's whatever that weight is, the second vertebrae is two times that weight and three times all the way down to the base of your spine.
From C1 down to the lumbars.
Yeah.
Which also goes with the chakras. They're from the crown chakra down to the sacral.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, you know, as far as chakras, there's a lot of different people talk about a lot of different. I always thought that the chakras must be based on the harmonic structure as well. But, you know, there's so many. It's because it never really made sense that the entire chakra system is one octave from the base of the spine to the top, because I always think of the base chakra as a really low frequency and the crown as much, much higher than one octave.
That's why you go from four petals to 960. And the Pleiadians had a different way of explaining that.
Uh-huh.
First of all, the chakra to them was a energy receiving place that controlled the contraction and the expansion of the endocrine glands in the body.
Uh-huh.
And the endocrine glands are capillaries, and they contain hormones. And the hormones, of course, are made up of amino acids. And so what the Pleiadians said, that the hormone, their definition of a hormone was the first unit of biochemistry to possess consciousness. And therefore, you modulated the chakra system, or you orchestrated it in the proper music architecture, it would create the proper feelings, not only to have normal relaxation and euphoria, but to reach the superphysical and higher realms. That was what they explained. That's
ties into one of my main things that I'm interested in, that I've been researching for the longest time, and that is about root frequencies. You know, because a lot of people talk about root frequencies being C and based on the chakra system, but I really firmly believe that everybody has a soul frequency.
Go ahead.
And not only that, but there is a harmonic structure that to everybody's system, so that is as different as a fingerprint. So that,
yeah,
you know,
no,
each etheric body is going to have its own harmonic that a person is going to resonate to. And those harmonics are actually mathematical multiples.
Yeah, exactly. The way the Pleiadians explain the fingerprint is that is the caricature of your soul, okay? And on the Pleiades, you know, here we use a fingerprint in criminology for identification. On the Pleiades, they use the vibratory frequency of the soul previous to an incarnation to determine who that person is, because they have a much longer lifespan and a much better mapping system that we do with these biocomputers that they use. And the likeness of that she characterized with the Dalai Lama, Tenzin Gyatso, as being our 14th Dalai Lama presently now.
Uh-huh.
And that was that the frequency of that soul would disincarnate and come back. And that young Lama, when he's 1 year old, would start to retain the characteristics of his previous incarnation. Now, when we asked the Dalai Lama, Tenzin Gyatso, if he was the Dalai Lama, he says, yeah, I know I'm the current Dalai Lama, but he says, I don't know if I'm number 13 or not. He's really cute.
Uh-huh.
So he knows he's the 14th. So on the Pleiades, what happens is when someone dies, like Samyasi had lost her husband, and they live about 1,500 years, the healthy ones, some unhealthy ones live 800, 900 years. She said that, you know, they in their school system, they go to school for 120 years, and so they have the equivalent of about 10 doctorates that we have here. And she said that when a soul incarnates into a mother, that they can know who that soul was in the previous family. They don't consider it like a llama, but a previous family. But they don't disturb the growth of that soul as it goes through its childhood and maturity, unless that soul asks to have some kind of contact with its previous family.
Mm-hmm.
And that, she said, that same vibratory frequency that is, you know, when it comes to the human embryo, as the human embryo is growing in the fetus, as the fetus, she says that as soon as the iron goes into the body and is polarized through the bloodstream, then immediately that frequency galvanizes the iron, which then modulates the fingertips as they form in the body, and that's how they form their fingerprints. That's Pleiadian science. If you want me to do that, some of that stuff at the seminar, I'll explain it further.
I think that would be really, because I think, you know, I keep thinking, you know, what I'm working on right now is a virtual reality system where you can have an image of your own body, and that could be an image of muscles, organs, endocrine glands, chakras, whatever you choose, and then you will be able to step into that image. Basically, you will lay on a sound table, and you will be put on a VR helmet, and you'll be able to look down and see a graphic of your own body. You won't be able to see your neck and your head, so that you'll actually see that graphic also floating above you about 2 feet, as if as in a mirror, so you can see your whole body. Then you'll be able to take images of sounds, which can be sacred geometry images, and put them inside organs, endocrine glands, and then that will cause the sounds in the table, the massage table or sound table that you're laying on, to move the sounds up and down on the table so you feel them inside your body where you're seeing them. So it occurs to me what is the coolest thing, that ultimately what we'll be able to do is take a map of your own harmonic structure of your entire system and play that map back into your own system and completely realign it. And you'll be able to see the sounds visually and hear it.
Right. We have I don't know if you're familiar with our Andromeda. This is the next stage of science, holographic projector systems. We make a product, and I'll bring these up to the seminar, that will take that sound imprint and it will transform that into a hologram. And then we have a larger version of this thing. This thing you can put on the table under a person's head. And then we have a bigger unit that transmits that. You can transmit that anywhere in the world and create actual events. You know, not only can you do healing, we have a guy that comes on the show, Steve Barish, who does miracle healings. We get people, he's got people out of wheelchairs that are paralyzed and they're never even supposed to move using this technology. And I should probably have him come out here to the seminar if I get him to fly on a plane. So we're into that same thing. So I think we will bring to your seminar some really interesting technology that will probably take what you want to do and probably shore it up a bit or give it a good solid foundation. You know, so
I have a really strong feeling that this is going to be a major summit at this conference.
I'll tell you what, the people you got coming to it, they don't come any heavier or finer. I mean, you got the best.
We've got Dr. Emoto. You know, everybody knows Dr. Emoto. He does.
What their backgrounds are. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Explain to the audience who's coming and what their backgrounds are.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you some of the main people here. Dr. Emoto, his main background, of course, is that he does research on water, and he will freeze water. Basically, he's proven that your intention affects the structure of water by doing research. And so he'll be there. Jonathan Goldman is one of the main people in the field for ages. He's been doing mostly like chanting and toning with bija mantras, but is heavily into using intention, has a ton of CDs out that are really wonderful for meditation and chanting and toning. Dr. Patrick Flanagan will be there. Dr. Flanagan is kind of a mad scientist from when he was like 3 years old. He told a funny story. He said that he got obsessed with trying to draw the Sri Yantra and in the computer, actually. And he never could get all of the ends to meet perfectly. They were always like 1 or 2 pixels off. And when you got the Sri Yantra, they can't be off, right? So finally, after 18 hours a day for 1 year trying to do this, I don't know if that's really true, but he said that he had got a dream, and Sai Baba came to him in the dream and told him how to do it how to draw the Sri Yantra in the computer. And he woke up and drew it perfectly in the computer, and then got it printed out and got it tattooed on his arm. I've had it there ever since. But he created the neurophone that actually transmits sound directly into a saccule in your brain and bypasses your ears so you can actually hear sound. He used it for learning originally, but he's now got another unit that actually transmits harmonics in the golden mean ratios. And what they've found out is that when you're transmitting love, that your heart actually puts out sound harmonics that are in golden mean ratios. So he created a unit that will actually transmit these ratios directly into your brain. So it's basically a love box.
So that's he'll be good. There. I remember when he demonstrated that early neurophone to me years ago at his house in Arizona, at his ranch over there, and we were playing with it, and he had me, he hooked it up to your feet, and you could hear it in your head. That was in its early form.
Yeah.
And I,
yeah.
I said to him, why don't you go out and help the deaf with this darn thing?
Yeah. Well, that's how he got the
finally did. I mean, he met this guy up in Alaska, this doctor up there, who I also met, and they started making them at a much less price, higher price than they originally priced at. I think they did help a lot of people that never heard before could actually hear it in their head like I did. I thought it was amazing.
He said that when he first applied for the patent, he actually talked to the patent office, and they said, no way can you hear sound without your ears, you know. So he actually went into the patent office, and there was a woman there who had been deaf for like 20 years. And he played some classical music to her through the system, and she started crying. And so they gave him the patent right there, then and there.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Yeah, he also he says that when you use the system, it activates the saccule, which is the same area in the head that dolphins use to transmit sound, and that when you activate this system in the ocean, he said his friend activated it when he was in Hawaii once, and 400 dolphins showed up.
Yeah, I believe that. Dolphins are very, very communicated with sonar, you know, sound, and that box works that way, works through your central nervous system by sending a sonar pulse out. I think it's really cool, you know.
Right. It transmits over 40,000 hertz as a carrier wave.
Yeah.
Then we have Joshua Leach. Joshua has done a lot of music CDs for Andrew Weil. He's a major music producer. And also has written some of the main books in the field, one called The Power of Sound. He's one of our instructors at the Institute as well. Dr.
Cool.
Jeffrey
Thompson.
How big is your
Yeah?
Oh, we've got about 7,000 square feet. We've got five recording studios. We probably have about 40 students a semester total. And, you know, we're growing a lot right now. And,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
you probably know my friend Dave LeBeau down there at, Avid Sound. And you probably use a lot of, you know, Avid stuff over there, right?
Especially
They moved. I was down there visiting with him one day. He was the keyboard player for, what's his name, David Bowie, I think. Before he started that goddamn thing. That's amazing, isn't it? You ever been down there to their the Abbey?
No, I haven't.
All their digital
I've
stuff.
I've been over to Digidesign, which is, you know,
yeah,
part
DigiDesign,
of
that. Yeah, he was president. Is he still there? I haven't been. David Tickle took me over there one time.
Yeah, I know his name. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was the president. He was the founder of the darn thing at one time. Uh-huh. That part of it. I guess Abbott bought him out when they were, you know. Yeah. So you're using all that equipment? I mean, that's the best there is, I think.
We're all Pro Tools based. And,
all Pro Tools.
You know, we're really, we've got kind of two parts to the Sound Healing School. We have, you know, at the school you can actually take classes in just natural sound healing because a lot of people don't want to get into the technology. But then if you want to do the technology side, we have that track as well. And we'll actually use Pro Tools to create binaural beats. I mean, we can actually create binaural beats that are tuned to your root frequency. We have about seven different ways that we find your root frequency. And then we can have the binaural beats actually tuned to either, you know, theta, alpha, delta, or whatever frequency you want to entrain your brain into those different frequencies. And We do a lot with that technology. We also have a lot of voice analysis systems. We have one by K. Lou Thompson called the Voice Bio System. That system's really cool in that it will actually show you what frequencies are missing, but she ties it to diseases and organs. She did about 10 years of research in hospitals where she did voice analysis for people that had specific diseases and figured out the basic sound map for each disease. And then she does the voice analysis on you, she has you tone the frequencies that are missing, and it's really powerful. We've been looking to use that system as a way of finding the frequencies that you want to put sounds and visuals inside your body in the virtual reality system. Then there's Don Estes' system of voice analysis. Both of these people will be at the conference as well, Kay Lu and Don Estes. And Don's system is really interesting. He actually analyzes not only the sound of the voice, but the sound of the breath. And he uses the harmonic structure of the sound a bit, but he uses more the envelope of the sound, which is a change in volume over time, because different emotions will create different changes in volume in your breath and your voice. But what's interesting is for those technically oriented, he actually uses the difference in the change of the phase of the harmonics, which is basically the timing of one harmonic compared to another harmonic. And if the phase is changing slowly, that's where he gets physical information about you. If it's changing fast, medium, he gets mental, emotional information. If it's changing really quickly, he gets spiritual information. So you do this voice analysis, and it's just like a psychic treatment. He tells you totally what's gone on with you in the past, what's happening now, and what's going to happen in the future.
That's amazing. That would be good for, that would be like a sophisticated voice analysis machine to tell if people are telling the truth or not. Because immediately if they're lying, they're going to have a quick phase shift, I think. It's going to be very fast, I would think. It sounds to me like that's incredibly. Has he used that technology out for the intelligence agencies or any of that? Or is he just thinking for the healing side?
I don't think so. I think it was... He hasn't. I've never gotten involved with him.
Because that sounds like he's the state of the art with some stuff there, just because I know about that.
He also has another system that's really interesting for infusing sound into water. And what he does is he actually takes two electrodes and puts it in the water. He doesn't put electricity through the electrodes. He puts two sounds that are out of phase. So they're actually, when two sounds are out of phase, they actually are kind of fighting against each other. So it creates tension in the water, which evaporates the water, and then that distilled water drips down into the bottle, and that's the water he creates.
Wow. And well, that's pretty
amazing. Really
different.
Yeah.
Distilled water or what?
It's supposed to really create, because what he does after he does this voice analysis is he'll take sound, the sound of your voice, and put it 90 degrees out of phase, which is what he's doing with the water as well. And he's determined that creates your potential.
Okay.
And brings your potential into you.
Right.
Yeah. How the hell he got this information? I think he's got some contacts himself.
There's a lot of crazy people out there,
He's done some really amazing work. And then there's Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, who's one of the main researchers in the field. He's really big on using a heart monitor to figure out exactly what your root frequency is. And he'll then actually vibrate you at that frequency on a sound table and put you into different brainwave states at the same time. But he's also... he's good at finding the frequency of each organ. He used to use just kinesiology, muscle testing, but now he uses this heart monitor that shows the relationship of your sympathetic to your parasympathetic system. When they're in balance, he knows that that's your actual frequency of your organ or whatever. And he's doing some really...
sympathetic nervous system doesn't work that well in most people because they're short on trace minerals. We produce a trace mineral formula down here that activates that center in your body, because the base minerals that you get in your foods and vitamins don't go high enough. I think they go to the autonomic and the sympathetic, but the parasympathetic, most people on this planet are starving to get that working. You know, they're just pretty much dead in a lot of people. That's why the people are so frustrated. You know, you get over in the Middle East, I don't think they have parasympathetic nervous system.
Well, yeah. There's one presenter that's come up with a way, he's going to be releasing it, so I can't say who it is, but a way of creating or bringing out minerals by using sound.
Wow.
To really create the minerals in your system.
Yeah.
And
that's
one thing that's going to be talked about.
Well,
then we also have Don Campbell, who has, you know, been around since the beginning of time in this field. Don is now doing some really cool work in hospitals where he's taking sound atmospheres into hospitals so that it's a really healing environment instead of, you know, the noisy place it is now.
So are hospitals more receptive to this?
Yeah, they are. Of course, you know, there's some budgetary considerations when they're bringing it in, so that's kind of the main limitation. But he's got a few hospitals set up with sound systems, you know, right now in different areas. And like sound areas where people can go and outside. He's got a children's sound playground at one hospital now.
Wow, that's really good. Who all else is coming?
We got Fabian Mamon, who has shown that sound can be used to destroy cancer cells, and he's got pictures in his book. There's also one of our instructors has done some work in that area, Amrita Cottrell. She actually had breast cancer, and she had a pretty large tumor in her breast, and she decided to use sound on it and meditated with sound on the tumor and had her friend play a didgeridoo, and after 3 months the tumor completely disappeared and it's been gone for 5 years now.
Wow.
So that's one field.
Are we seeing a lot of sound technology coming into the cancer field now, do you think?
You know, I think within 5 years there's going to be a major change in the medical field. You know, probably the most interesting thing that I've seen is the work of John Reed. He came up with a cymoscope, which is a system where you put sand or powder on a plate and you can sing into it and see these beautiful mandala-like patterns in the materials. And he's actually discovered that when those patterns that you see in the sand are actually in the cells, and if you can match that harmonic structure but by using the right sound, you open up that cell's pathway to bring energy in, and then if you want to do, that's good for healing, but if you want to destroy the cell, you simply turn the volume up, and the cell explodes. So he's come up with a system now where you do a biopsy of the cell. You take the cell out, you find the harmonic structure of that cell, you resonate it and explode it. So basically what you can do is explode any cancer cell in the body with no side effects at all.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really cool system. It's interesting because, you know, in this field there's kind of like two general areas that people are going. One is to just resonate your whole system, harmonize your system, connect you to spirit, and let God do the work. The other is to do surgery, which is kind of like the old modality, you know, of where you just find the disease and you destroy it, which is not a bad thing, but it's, you know, it's like, you know, I keep thinking that if we could just figure out the exact way to connect the spirit in the way that's good for people, then we won't need these healing systems.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's a lot of the research that I'm really interested in, a lot of the people at our school are, too, because, I mean, we all know that certain music, you know, definitely will do it. You know, I've had major experiences even with Pink Floyd. Oh, my God, I've seen God with Pink Floyd, you know.
Well, I remember one time when I was with the Moody Blues back in 73, we were down in San Diego, back when Mike Pinder had the big old Pindertron. We were in the stadium down there. We had a huge audience, and, of course, everybody was smoking pot. Except me, because I'd never had it yet, and I'll never forget it because In fact, I still had my electronics company in those days. I haven't even gotten into the new age stuff that I'm into now. I remember seeing at the top of the ceiling, we're inside this giant auditorium with a, you know, closed off top. And I remember seeing these dragons form up there. And I'm not drinking nothing, smoking nothing, and there was marijuana smoke up there for sure. And I remember seeing these big dragons, and I wasn't, I guess you sort of like hallucinating, but everybody was seeing them, you know what I mean, from the music. It was just amazing. That was the first time I really ever saw the phenomenon of all these, I guess we had 18 or 20,000 people in there, and then they were blasting away up there on the, you know, mic of that Pendertron, and it was amazing. And I forget, it was one of the older songs and one of the instrumentals they did when all this happened. It was just amazing. Hopefully we can get those. Have you heard any more on them for the thing or not?
Well, you know, we should know on Monday. It's looking really good that the Moody Blues will be at the concert. We're doing four concerts for this conference. The first night, we've got Mickey Hart and Stanley Jordan confirmed, and another group called AO that brings in a bunch of kids. And then Moody Blues, we talked to the manager, and he said they're available, and he's checking with them right now. So it's looking really good right now.
I mean, I know Justin would love to meet some of these people. I mean, he's a freak on this on sound stuff, you know. And so I'll bet that he himself would come. Like I say, we get the Blue Jays, it's him and John Lodge. It would be nice.
Yeah, it'd be great. We're also at this first concert. We're going to be doing 3D sacred geometry, and so we're going to hand out 3D glasses to everybody. So, you know, and then also I'm looking forward to you playing your D50, you know.
I'd like to bring more of them up there, but I'd like to hook a bunch of them up and midi them all together, but it's just too much stuff to really do that. But I'll create something. I may have to put some stuff on CD and play it behind me. You got a CD player, right, that we can use?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can't bring the stuff that I really want to bring, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm
going
to try to put some special CDs together to bring them along.
Yeah, that would really just be
the opening act. You can just shake them all up really good. You got some big bass speakers, I'm assuming.
It's really funny to, you know, to get older and just like listen to sound healing music to really, really rumble you. You know, it's like being on the sound table. It's amazing experience when you get off and you're just humming inside. You know,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I played
it's great too.
My first album I played it all over the world is the Fellowship album. It was 90 minutes. It was about the right length. But I remember screwing up the first one because I didn't have any on stage speakers. You know, first time I ever played live in front of an audience, I was terrified. I've been speaking in front of groups since I was 11 years old as a physicist. But man, I'm telling you, playing music that was a little too sensitive for me. You know,
that's funny. You know what I've learned from doing music productions so much is really, you know, the coolest thing about the real strong bass lows, and I'm not talking about like a strong beat that like attacks you, but just a steady low bass. The main thing about that is when it ends, it leaves you in a place of perfect peace. That is the best silence, the most beautiful silence in the world. And it's in that space, I think that's where healing and spirit begins.
My
main goal is to leave people in that place of perfect peace many times throughout the concert, and then when it's over, just let them be humming, you know. So what we're going to do at this concert is we're going to have just about every song, we're going to have people toning at the beginning and at the end of each song so they can really get the frequency.
With a single D50, I can mix that in pretty good, you know what I mean?
That's cool.
You know, if you want me to do some of this stuff with you. I wish I could bring, you know, I have a Korg M1. I mean, I got all the new stuff, but I got some of the old stuff. You know, I even have a Vox Continental from the Doors and an old Rhodes bass, you know, to do that. And I've got a Mellotron M5 for the Moody Blues.
Oh, well, that's funny.
Oh, yeah, I've got an ARP 2700 from the Yes days. I got a whole gallery of these old antique synthesizers, and I play the hell out of them.
Oh,
plus Memory
cool.
Moog. Boy, I wish I could bring some of this stuff up there. You got a Memory Moog around up there? I cannot play those.
I know. We've got a Moog on the in software now.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, I got to have the real thing, you know. But we'll have some fun. And I've got this other book I'm working on. As soon as I get done with the stupid other book, which is the Inside Track, then I get to go out and play concerts again. I just can't wait. I haven't been out on a concert tour in years. So this is going to be a wake-up call for me. I hope I don't screw it up, like screw the whole thing up for you.
Oh, no, no. Spirit will come through. So, yeah. You know, besides all these people, and we've got like 50 other presenters, and what we've done is we've divided them into different workshops. So we've got a workshop with a few people on sound and medicine, you know, how because that's one of our main goals, is to really bring sound healing more into the medical field. And, you know, it's interesting because the tricky part with that is when you come up against the pharmaceutical companies. But this is one I've basically seen the way that we could do it. And that is, you know, I saw a documentary about a year ago on the alternative health field, and they said, you know, the reason that alternative medicine is not being regulated now is because 85% of the people in Congress are using it.
Right. I believe that. Thank God.
And so
I've got a lot of those people in Congress using my stuff, that's for sure. We got a lot of senators and stuff that we've sold things to.
That's cool, you know, because I think that's what's going to drive. A lot of people are scared that it's going to be hard to get past the pharmaceuticals. But, you know, if you have stuff out there that works, I mean, it's going to take over. And I really think within 5 to 10 years, the whole medical field.
Some of my listeners, just so you know, I don't know, I'm going to say hi to them tonight. Some of my listeners are Harry Reid, who's the head guy in the Senate. All right, he's a listener. The governor and the mayor of Las Vegas are regular listeners to this show.
A whole lot of
people in Congress listen to this show, this Dr. Fred Bell show that you're on right now. I don't know if they're tonight. And sometimes they'll have a get-together over at a friend of mine's house over there in Las Vegas, and they'll have a little cocktail party, and they'll have about 20 of them all come in from all over the damn place to hear this crazy show. I mean, it sounds crazy, but we're getting out there, and I'm just thankful. And down in Tampa Bay, we got a bunch of stations down there that picked this thing up and transmitted all over Florida. We've got a huge above-the-ground audience tonight in Miami. We always have them.
That's great.
Yeah, so, you know, we're getting out there, and we're big in Paraguay and England and Sweden and Germany and Austria and all over the place.
Well, you know,
Alaska,
it's amazing. You know,
Iceland.
We've been doing conferences now, and about 2 years ago, we had our booth on sound healing at the conference, and people would come up and say, "Whoa, sound healing, what's that?" You know, and now, just like 2 years later, it's like more than half the people that come up, it's like, "Oh, I've heard about this." You know, so it's really coming out more into the mainstream now, and it's really great. We're also working on a play right now with one of the main guys from Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas, where we're going to have, it's a play on called Compassion, and we're going to be using 3D visuals with chakras, and although we won't call them chakras for Las Vegas, we're going to have each season.
Oh, they don't mind.
I'm sorry?
When Kenny Gunn was governor over there, he had my book, Rays of Truth, and he, you know, that was the other governor, and he just read the heck out of it. I used to get questions through
That's incredible.
Stop.
Yeah, we're
going to
have seven speakers in each chair and everything there.
Yeah. No, that's really good.
So that's sound and medicine workshop. Then we're going to have a sound and psychology workshop, because there's a lot of people that are helping kids with learning disabilities with a program called the Listening Program and other programs that are based on the Tomatis' work. And they're very effective for kids with autism and kids with learning disabilities, and also even adults with learning disabilities, like half of us from all of these.
Yeah, me. That's me.
Yeah, well, from all the electromagnetic stuff going on, I think, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there was an interesting...
Go ahead, because we're going to run out of time here in another minute.
Okay, then there's a workshop on rhythm and healing, sacred geometry. We have some of the main people in the field. Natural acoustic sound healing, which is tuning forks, crystal bowls, and voice. Then the voice analysis workshop, healing music, sound and intuition, which is about, you know, psychics that use sound. And the conference is May 11th through the 14th in San Francisco, and you can check it out at thesoundhealingcenter.com. You'll be able to find it through there. Or you can call
some phone numbers to give out, too, for those
you can call
computers are listening to this tonight.
Yeah, it's 415-777-2486. Or you could call our 800 number, which is 800-9000-MIX. That's M-I-X.
That's an easy way to remember. And then if people want to get a hold of you personally, Dave Gibson, who's our guest tonight, they can reach you through the soundhealingcenter.com or the phone numbers, right?
That's right. They can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com as well. and get in touch with me there.
Yeah. Well, you got another minute or so here before I do my hot rod. I have a little segment I do called Hot Rod to Hell, which I have to do tonight, which takes about a minute and a half. So this is where we get after people that aren't behaving in companies. Anything you want to say in closing in the last couple of minutes here?
Yeah, well, there's also a couple other concerts going on with Fabian Maman, Tibetan Bowl concert. But, you know, I think the main thing is you know, it's really just about people just really tuning into their own root frequency. And that's the main thing is if people start getting back in touch with their root frequency, then, you know, because we're so distracted by all this noise and electromagnetism, you know, it's just nuts. And that's one of the main things, toning and getting on a sound table, which we sell all the way, by the way, is really the two main
ways. We'll get everybody on your sound table. All our listeners can come in and get loaded on that.
Oh, yeah, they can come check it out. We're going to have a ton of sound tables at the conference that people can just get on.
And now people are saying at the Cathedral Hill Hotel, which used to be the old Jack Tar.
Right.
And I guess you've got blocks there where you've got incredibly good rates. Is there still rooms left for people, or are they sold out?
Yeah, there are. If people are going to go. Also, the price is going up for the conference on April 11th. So if people are going to sign up, they should sign up because it will go up $100 then.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it for you, and I've got to finish up my last little segment here.
Alrighty.
Tonight you were listening to David Gibson from SoundHealingCenter.com in San Francisco, California. I will be up there. Thank you for being on the show, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and now we're up to the last segment. As those of you know that I have been having a lot of fun with UPS, and we had a 20-some-odd-thousand-dollar ring stolen about a month ago. And, of course, like all of these shipping companies, they don't want to face up to the fact that they have to pay the money. And this was so well-documented because this ring was being sent back from my company documented by two police departments back up to Los Angeles to a very high-end jewelry manufacturer. And so it was actually opened on a video camera because they don't open parcels, and it was disturbed as it came in the door and by somebody at UPS. So we got pushed around and stalled and pushed back and forth, and they didn't want to pay the claim. They kept saying we lost this and that. So I called UPS Corporate. And I told him, I says, I'm Dr. Fred Bell from Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show, and you're going to be fodder for my show. Well, they immediately suddenly came up with phone numbers. There weren't 800 numbers. They immediately took care of this claim out here. And we got a person here, a corporate person, at a 714 number, not an 800 number. And then they tried to say, well, we lost all the documentation to cover their butt. So then we had to resend it again, but this time to a different person, people in corporate. And guess what? They're paying the claim. So those of you that have insurance problems, you have to get tough with corporate these days because these insurance companies have back units, back offices to purposely stall you out and not pay you. So tonight, once again, UPS, we have got your number, and people all over the world know that you have ways of hiding claims. You know where you can go.